Praise the Lord. We are again back on our little subject, the road leading to the last week. I pray that you have a little understanding of what I meant yesterday when I talked about the prophet Daniel in chapter 9. And verse 24 to 27. I also want to take up a little subject here on what really the week, the last week, will do. Because when the Bible says in verse 27, Daniel 9:27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wings of abominations shall come one that make it desolate, and even to the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. When I look at such a scripture, I'd like to put in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Because here it speaks about, of course, a New Testament order. Because when Daniel had his vision, he had his vision more than 500 years before Christ. And we call that the B.C. period. And Daniel, when he had the prophecy, he probably did not understand that it would take 2,500 years for it to be fulfilled. But now we are in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. And I want to read that part. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of a gathering together unto him, to the end that you may not be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor be troubled, either by spirit, or by word, or by epistle from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Paul, when he wrote this, he was looking at and hoping for the coming of the Lord to come quickly. But as he was traveling and receiving more revelations from the Lord, because the Lord appeared to him several times. I don't want to go into that now. But when Paul finally understood that this is going to take time, then he says, let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away comes first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here we know that in the days of Paul, it was the Roman Empire who was ruling the world, what we would call the prophetic part of the world. The Middle East and Europe was ruled by the Romans, and the head of the Romans was the emperor. And when he says the man of sin be revealed, it would be the leader of the Roman Empire. Back in those days, it was the emperor that was called the Kaiser. And he was really going up against Israel. Well, he took Israel in approximately 56, 160 before Christ is when the Roman Empire really started to work on the Middle East and came into Israel. And it was Rome who was ruling the world when Jesus Christ was walking on the roads in Israel. And when the Pharisees and the scribes, that were the religious part of Israel, when they didn't want Jesus around, they used the Roman Empire to get rid of him, because they went to Pilate and said, "We want him crucified." And Pilate, he looked at them and he looked at Jesus, and he could see, well, the Romans were not ignorant of what was going on. They also had some understanding of what is truth and not. So when Pilate looked at Jesus Christ, he wondered, why would they really want to get rid of that man? Because this man looks to me like an innocent type. But he was also a politician, and he didn't want to come to bad terms with a leader, the emperor of his own day, who was sitting in Rome as the chief and master. So therefore, he played politics and let Jesus be crucified. All right, so here, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We all absolutely come out of the Roman Empire, because when you read the prophet Daniel saw four kingdoms rising up, one that he was living in, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and then also one that he would still be living in when the Medo-Persians enter into the situation. And the Persians took the Babylonians when Daniel was still alive. And they ruled till around 300 BC. Then came the Greek. And the Greeks, they ruled up till 150, 160 BC. And then came the Roman Empire. So we had Babylon, Medo-Persians, Greece, and Rome. And in Daniel's visions, after Rome, he saw a stone cut out from a big mountain, and the stone was thrown on the image that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream. And it broke the image. It broke Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. So the Roman Empire have really ruled from 160 BC and have been ruling on and off all the way up to our day. So when the Lord is coming back and when the last week is going to show up, the Roman Empire will be back in power, have influence over the prophetic part of the world, and be able to fulfill scripture. Because the falling away comes first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Hey, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, is now in our day actually the head of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, it's called the Pope. He is not yet the ruler of the world, but I can tell you, he is the ruler of more than 2 billion people that call themselves Catholics. And the Catholic spirit will increase, And the political part of what we call Europe today, they have probably around 27, 28, 29 nations in the European Common Market, EU. And a lot of them people, they have so many things on their mind that they can never come to a solid agreement. Therefore, it will take a smart head, a religious head, to convince the political part of the world, or the Roman world, that he got a solution to bring peace to the Middle East. And of course, then he will start to exalt himself so he can get into that position. In verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he says here, "He that opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God." So here in verse 3 and 4, it speaks about a person that will finally enter in to Israel and want to sit in a temple. Well, the temple is not yet built, but when the last week is setting in, then in the middle of that week, there will come, because the Bible says in Daniel 9, it says that he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And that week is the 70th week of Daniel. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wings of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate. When you compare Daniel 9:27 to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, then you have the same setting. So the scripture actually goes together here. There is a man that is going to make himself like God. And in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he exalts himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. What Daniel saw, remember now, when Daniel was alive in 550 BC or earlier, 600 BC, he was in his own days and he saw his own environment. He didn't see cars, airplanes, or anything like that. But remember, when God takes a man in the spirit, he lifts him up from his own surroundings, his own time, and he carries that person into a different setting, a different time, because God, he saw the end before the beginning started. And he can take any person, lift him up in a timeless period, and bring him back in time and up front in time to any time that he wants. And when God wants a person to see something, he will let him see. So that means he let Daniel see your and my day. I hope that that will sink in. The prophets of old, God took them in the spirit and brought them to former events that hadn't even happened yet. But remember, in the mind of God, everything has happened already. Remember, He is the great architect. And you know an architect? You may look at the woods or a plain, and there's nothing there. But when the architect comes, then he visualizes and he sees a city or a building or a project. Yeah. And then he goes back to his office and he draws a blueprint of what is going to happen, what is going to be built there. And when the architect is done, the blueprint is already set. And when people are going to come and start building on the project, whether it is a road, a house, or a city, or whatever, then the blueprint is already there. So God has the blueprint of the entire world and the entire time. The timetable is set by God. He is the master of it. Therefore, when he brought Daniel up, brought him to Urim my day, and showed him what was coming, and Daniel used his words to explain what he saw. When you and I come to our day, we will use the terminology of our day to understand and explain what is written in the Bible. So we can go back to Daniel's days and we can compare it with our own day. And remember, we have Daniel's words, 550 BC. We have Paul's letters written 64, 65 AD. So more than 500 years or 600 years later, Paul is writing what you read in 2 Thessalonians. And now, 2,000 years up the road, you and I see a certain picture. And when we go back in the Bible, we can see the framework of Daniel and 2 Thessalonians and start to assume and see and understand, my, we're living in the days where those things are happening. So that is why I call this the road to the last week. All right. So what's going to happen? And maybe I'll take another little scripture to explain. We have this week to look into it. So for now, I want to lead you into another little thought about, it's all about the same week, the coming week. If you go to Revelation chapter 7, and you read from verse 1 and 2, you read about four angels. I won't speak about them now, but I want to read verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the sunrise, from the rising of the sun, or some Bible interpreters call it coming in from the east. Something special here, having the seal of the living God, my Lord, having the seal of the living God. When I read about the word seal, to me, when I read the context and the fullness of Bible understanding, the seal of the living God is really when God seals people with the Holy Spirit. If you go back to Ephesians and you go to chapter 4, and you go to verse 30. The Bible says here, and it's Paul writing it. I take this a little out of context now, just to make you understand what a seal is. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit is God's way of filling people so that they will know they have a certain security since God came and accepted them. Yeah. Think about Jesus Christ. He came to John the Baptist one day and went into the river because he wanted to be baptized by John the Baptist, because that was to fulfill scripture. And when John saw him, and he was amazed because the Lord had told John the Baptist already that the one that you see, the Holy Spirit comes and remains on. That is the Messiah. That's the one. And then when Jesus came, John the Baptist felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There were hundreds of people that came to be baptized, but there was no experience like the one when Jesus came walking towards him, and he bowed and he said, "Baptize me, John." And John looked at him and he said, "You come to me, I need to be baptized by you and not the other way." But Jesus said, "You have to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And of course, when the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon John, he understood he had to do this part. So he took Jesus and he baptized him. And when he came out of the water, he saw the Holy Spirit appearing and fell upon him. And in the shape of a dove, he saw the Holy Spirit sealing Jesus the Christ with the Holy Ghost. That, hey, since the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, 3, and 4, there have that tree of life, which is actually the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is what Daniel should, no, not Daniel, but Adam should have done in the beginning, refuse the devil, refuse the introduction that Eve led him to, so that they both fell and fell through, so they could not get in and close to the tree of life, to the spiritual experience of being sealed with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, God put cherubims, angels, to guard the entrance into the sealing of the Holy Ghost. And that cherubim or angel that stood there to guard the tree of life has always been there. And the very first time that the angel opened up the avenue for a person to be sealed with the Holy Ghost in that respect, that's what we call the new birth in New Testament understanding. It was Jesus the Christ. He was the first one to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. And then on the day of Pentecost, here comes the sealing in of the believers of Jesus. So 120 people were sealed on the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And later on, when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, he offered the salvation and the sealing in process to everyone that would believe. So he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins, and you shall be filled or sealed with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. What a message and what an introduction. Hey, aren't you happy? You're living in New Testament period. And you can be sealed with the Holy Ghost by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Here we're getting into that part. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. In whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. So actually, when you are sealed or baptized in the Holy Spirit, that will keep you going and holding on till the day of redemption. And when is the day of redemption? The day of the way, or should we say, the day of redemption is actually coming after the last week is over. The road to the last week. So here, and let's go back to Revelation again in chapter 7, verse 2, and see here. I saw another angel ascending from the sunrise or east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So here, this angel has been here since the day, since the Garden of Eden, then, but we are jumping up to a later hour. That angel started the infilling of the Holy Ghost with Jesus Christ. And then on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, or 2 verse 4, where all the disciples were filled with Holy Ghost. And now he has followed the trend of the gospel to be preached around the globe. And when the angel is seen in chapter 7, in verse 2, in the book of Revelation, he has now fulfilled the plan of redemption for the Gentile age, because he has no gone around the globe, and he's on his way back to come into Jerusalem, because now he is going to seal the 144,000. Because he says here, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. I'll stop here. I won't read any more now. But here is where we are seeing an angelic power. He's been with us all the way through the Gentile dispensation. And now he is about to close the Gentile dispensation, because now the Lord is going to start working and opening the avenue and the door of the gospel to the Jewish nation. So the angel is on his way to cross into Israel. And what is he going to do? Is going to anoint the two prophets. Revelation chapter 11. And in Revelation chapter 8, you will find out the works that the two prophets will do. And then, when we come to that part, we understand they will start to preach and anoint 144,000. Of course, the prophets are the mouthpiece, but the angels from heaven are the instruments to do the job. Well, time is out. May the Lord bless you, and we will talk again tomorrow and continue our thought. May the Lord bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.